I'm Master at Life and Weight Loss Coach, Jillian Lama, and you're listening to the Body You Crave podcast, where you'll learn how to end emotional eating, lose excess weight, and feel amazing in your body. No cheating required. Keep listening, and I'll show you how.
Hey, hey, welcome back. All right. So this week I'm up in Michigan for a few days and I am really looking forward to it. It's my first time in the state and I love to be able to travel and I love to be able to speak. And so I'm speaking to a group of women in leadership and we are going to talk about why is it that we can know what to do, yet we don't always do it. And this is something I'm pretty sure I've written emails about. I've written social media posts about it. I've done all kinds of things. But when I went back to look at podcast episodes, I realized I don't think I've actually talked about this on a podcast. It's probably come up within other podcasts, but I don't remember where. We're going to rehash it here because I think this is really important, is a lot of times we can know what to do. And I really wrestled with this in the beginning too, when I was really working on my emotional eating and overeating habit. I knew the plan. I knew that I should be writing down, making a plan for what I was going to eat. I knew I needed to let go of my food rules. I knew I needed to evaluate, but I still didn't do it, right? And this is a problem as old as dirt. It is not going to go away anytime soon. Paul talks about it in Romans in the New Testament. So if you look at the Bible, either as a historical text or a religious text, we've been writing about this for the last 2,000 years. I'm sure they had this problem 2,000 years prior. We still have it today, 2,000 years later. Like, it's just not going away. And Paul in Romans, he says, why is it that I don't do the things that I want to do and yet I do the things that I hate? It's the same thing. Why is it that I can know what to do yet I still don't do it? And it's not because there is some internal flaw with me. It's not because I am just this horrible human or it's the stain on my humanity, right? It doesn't have to mean anything big and horrible about me. It just shows that I have a human brain. And the more that we understand how our brains operate and how they work, the better we can show up for ourselves and our goals and the desires and the things that we set for ourselves. And the bonus of this is not only do we know how our brains operate and how we work, but now we also start to see and understand how other people's brains operate and work. So this applies to your boss or your supervisor. It applies to your employees or your colleagues. It applies to your kids, to your spouse, to your neighbors. We all are operating in a way where our brain is trying to keep us safe and alive. And so it's important that we understand, like, we don't just need another list of eat this, not that. We don't just need more of do this, not that. I don't need more exercises of what to do in the gym. I don't need more food rules. We are inundated with all types of rules. We are inundated with the what to do. And if we look at the model, if we want to create a result, oftentimes it's what's going to create that result. It's the action. So that's what everybody focuses on. Just tell me what to do and I'll do it. But you don't. We say that, just tell me what to do, but we don't. We actually can't get on board with doing it because either it's not sustainable, it doesn't fit into our lifestyle, it's not something we actually want to do, or there's some other thing underneath it. And sometimes there are some deeper things that lie below the surface as to either why even achieving the result or why making progress feels scary. It's going to challenge some of our limiting beliefs. It's going to challenge some of our thoughts about what it means to be able to maintain that kind of lifestyle. And if you've lost weight in the past and then regained it, a lot of times when we regain it, not only do we regain weight, the physical weight, but now we regain the shame and judgment and self-loathing that goes right along with it. And losing weight in the future is going to feel very scary and very vulnerable and very threatening because what if we don't maintain that weight loss again? What if we regain the weight again? And we have to go through all of that shit talking on our own and we have to go through all of that judgment. And usually it's self-judgment. Like, you might get some critical eyes. Maybe you'll get some critical comments from other people. But typically, it's our judgment of what we think other people are thinking about us. It's not their word. Like, the people are not actually, most people are not actually telling us their words. Some people will. Okay, and we won't get into that. That's going to be, there'll be future podcasts on what to do with those people. But for now, right, the judgment and everything, it comes from within. That's what makes it unsafe to be able to lose the weight again? Because what if I don't keep it off? What if I try really hard and then I fail? What if I try to lose 5 pounds in a month and I only lose one and I don't meet my expectations? And to me, that's failure. And now there's more shit talking and self-loathing and shame and guilt and regret and all the things. Because we don't know how to create a healthy relationship with ourselves. We don't know how to meet ourselves where we're at. So we're trying to do unrealistic programs. We're trying to stick with things that don't actually work. And we don't know how to encourage and talk to ourselves in a way that is motivating and encouraging. And a lot of times when it comes to weight loss and emotional eating, a lot of times we're doing things that we have never done before in the past. Even for me, when I had lost weight before, I always regained it. And so as I was working on my emotional eating and overeating, that was the primary goal. But there was also like an underlying desire of, I just want to lose a few pounds. And within that, it was, I want to lose it and keep it off for life. I don't want to keep stressing and worrying about food and thinking about food and where can I go out to eat and having that be such a constraint on my life. I had never done that before. Every time I lost the weight in the past, I regained it. And when I had lost it, I lived in fear. I was so terrified. There was so much fear about regaining the weight again because of the internal narrative of what was going to go on in my head, what I thought other people were thinking about me, the opinions of other people when my weight would go up, or some of the comments and things. And usually it was from the past, comments that I grew up with in high school or college, or things that people maybe didn't mean as insults. And actually, I talked about those recently in these newer released episodes of the podcast. I can't remember which one it was, but when I read something out of the journal, body shame, episode 98. So I read out chapter one and there was body shame in there from other people. And some of it was like, yeah, their words were pretty douchey. And for some of it, it was what I was making it mean. And it was what I was inferring. It was, I already had this belief. And then I saw what they were doing, saying as confirmation that, well, what I was believing must be true then. And so this is what we need to understand, though, is that anytime we are trying to do something new, do something for the first time, do something and create a result that we have never yet created, believing before you have the result is the hardest part. It is. And I still wrestle with this. Like, I still am on a path and trying to achieve goals that I have never created before. It's scary. And I also lack belief sometimes. I'm also like, I've never done that before. Therefore, I can't do it in the future. That's what my default brain wants to tell me because it's trying to keep me safe. It's trying to keep me alive. So I'm pretty sure I've talked about our mullet brain before on the podcast. We got business in the front, party in the back. So our business brain, right? Our thinking brain, this is our prefrontal cortex, right? Behind our forehead. This part of our brain is responsible for the language, logic, problem solving, analysis. That's where we do all of our, you know, good intentions every morning. It's when we make our plans. It's when we, you know, decide today is the day I'm going to stick to my diet. It's when we set the goals and we like have those really positive thoughts. But that part of our brain only turns on for about 5% of our day. It only attributes and contributes to about 5% of our thoughts and our thinking every day. There's a lot more that fly under the radar. There's probably 55,000 other thoughts every day that are on autopilot, that are on out of our habit brain. So our habit brain is in the back. This is our party brain. It just wants to have a good time. It wants to seek pleasure and avoid pain via the path of least resistance. So what feels good, what tastes good, what doesn't, like avoiding whatever feels bad, and then whatever's like the easiest way to do that. And so our habit brain has learned that food creates a rapid, reliable, effective sense of relief. That's all that's happened here. Sometimes it does that with alcohol. Sometimes it does it with a dating app. Sometimes it does it with shopping or spending. Our brain can do that with all kinds of different things. And so what we want to be aware of is when we are just transferring and changing one buffer to the next, when we're going from one coping mechanism to the next. And we really have to understand and unpack, what is it that I'm really hiding from? What am I running from? What emotions am I trying to avoid and distract myself from? Okay, but we want to understand this part of our brain because it wants to keep me safe. It wants to keep me alive. It wants to limit and mitigate any threat. because the threat of somebody's judgment about me gaining weight, the threat of my own judgment about me gaining weight is like a threat to my very survival. It's a threat to being loved, to being accepted, to be a part of this community. Like, it's a very primal threat that comes up. And that's what that part of our brain runs off of, is instinct and habit. And it's a very primitive part of our brain. It's very much designed to just eliminate the threat of negative emotions. And that's the other thing, is that a lot of times we grow up and negative emotions are bad. They're not allowed. What are we told when we're crying as a kid? Typically, stop that crying or you're going to go to your room. We were scolded. We were reprimanded. We were shamed. We were just like, there were all kinds of things that happened because we had negative emotions that we were not allowed to share or to express. And as young children, we have very minimal control over being able to control our emotions either. Like, we have very limited brain capacity and emotional capacity to handle our emotions, especially when we have parents who don't know how to handle their emotions either. So you have parents who don't know how to handle their emotions, getting triggered AF by their kids who can't manage their emotions, but nobody knows how to regulate their emotions and nobody's being a guide for how to do that. All we learn how to do is to stuff it down because that's bad. Run away, hide. And so not only do we learn this growing up, but sometimes we get into relationships and into marriages and into friendships where it's shame on you for being stressed. How dare you be stressed? You should be grateful for what you have. You should be. There are so many people who have it worse. People would kill to be in your shoes and live your life right now. How dare you be ungrateful? How dare you be stressed? How dare you be whatever? How dare you want something bigger? How dare you be upset or angry or any type of negative emotion? And so your negative emotions get shut down often because they don't know how to handle their own negative emotions, and they are taking anything that you have just said personally. They see it as a personal attack on them, and their only way is to shut it down, to blame you, to shame you, to make it stop. It's their coping mechanism. It's not a healthy dynamic, but we can see how it's their brain trying to keep them safe with their coping mechanisms, with those skills. Okay. That's all that we are in. We are just in these constant cycles of trying to keep our brain safe, and our brain trying to keep us safe. So we can see now as adults how, as kids, we weren't supposed to express negative emotions. You weren't supposed to be. You definitely could not be angry at your parents. It's like you were not allowed to have negative emotions. And then as you get older, you may have been in relationships, and it could be friendships. It could be even work environments where you're not supposed to, or you're not allowed to have these negative emotions. And so what does our habit brain learn? It learns that negative emotions are bad. They must be avoided at all costs. And there is a difference between being somebody who is like, the glass is half empty, and life is horrible, and I'm always a victim, and I have no power and control over anything in my life, and life just happens to me. But we often will swing to the other side, and I was really good at this, of just looking on the bright side, seeing the silver lining, always staying positive. Oh, nope, I didn't hit my goal, but that's okay because I'm just going to try harder. Or that's okay because blah, blah, blah. And I would come up with some reason or some excuse, and I was so resistant to feeling negative emotions. I remember the first year I started working with my business coach, and one of the things that I realized was I was so afraid of being disappointed. I was so afraid of setting a goal and not hitting it. So afraid of making an offer and getting a no. I was so afraid of disappointment, which seemed like such a small, simple part of life that I just, again, it just brought up, like, it showed how much I was resistant and avoiding negative emotions as a whole. And so it takes the willingness to be able to allow it and to now reprogram and rewire our brain and recognize that that's all that's happening here, is your brain trying to keep you safe from those potential negative emotions. If you lose the weight and regain it, if you try really hard and you don't lose the weight, so to bring it all back, you can know what to do and you still don't do it. Not because of self-sabotage, but because of self-protection. Because this is how your brain is wired. Because this is how we have survived this long as a species. Like, there have been a lot of benefits of this. But we also have to recognize now when we are, when we just keep trying to stuff down our emotions, like pushing that beach ball under the water just for it to pop up and for it to explode, for it to come up like a volcano, for it to erupt. It's like we keep stuffing. And usually in order to stuff the emotion down, we need something else to do that with, to distract us with, to get that hit of dopamine. It's, I don't want to feel that negative stuff over there because that's bad. That's threatening. So I need something else that's going to get me out of this negative emotion and give me this false lift. And food will do that. Alcohol will do that. Social media will do that. The TV will do that. Sex will do that. Dating apps will do that. All kinds of things. And it's not that those things are bad in and of themselves. It's the intention behind it. It's why are you looking to it? There's nothing wrong with going to Target when you need some toilet paper or paper towels or cold medicine or, right, like, or new shoes or whatever it is, right? There's nothing wrong with going shopping. There's nothing wrong with getting things off of Amazon. But we need to be aware of when it is emotional spending, when we are overspending in an attempt to feel better about our lives or to feel better about certain situations. There's nothing wrong with being on a dating app and dating somebody new. But we need to look at, am I turning to this app because I'm looking for a hit of dopamine because I'm experiencing something negative in my life right now? Or maybe it's like silence, or maybe it's loneliness. And I don't want to feel that. And so rather than feel that, I'm now going to turn to this app. Or now I'm going to go on these dates. Because look, they just, these guys, they just fell in my lap. I don't know. They're just here. They appeared. So I guess I'm just going to go on this date. Rather than, we can be very passive about it. We could be like, oh, it's God's will. Well, look at the stars are just aligning. Look at the universe just bringing stuff into my life. And really, the question is always, but is that what you want? Is that in line with your future vision? Is that what you need right now? And so one of the things that I talk often about is like cravings, right? We can have cravings and urges for food. And what I really care about is, what are your core cravings? What are those deeper desires for your life, for your career, for your family, for how you think about yourself, how you talk to yourself, for your body, for your size, how you want to feel in your body, for the energy levels, the sleep you want to have? What are the core cravings? Because often that's what we are numbing and not paying attention to, or we're afraid we're not actually going to be able to achieve. So I can just get this little hit of dopamine over here easier. It's real easy to then just turn to Oreos or chips or ice cream, because that creates that rapid, reliable, effective sense of relief. It makes me feel good. It makes me happy. It tastes good. It helps distract myself. And sometimes what we're looking for is like rest, or relaxation, or calm. So we want to be understanding why, right? Things that we do are not always bad. It's not, again, it's not the what, it's why are you turning to it? Can we understand what's going on underneath the surface? Because just knowing what to do isn't always the issue. The what is not always the problem. What you're eating is not always the problem. It's why are you eating it? Are you actually physically hungry? But if you have a plan and it's realistic and it's doable and you're making some small, simple changes and you're meeting yourself right where you're at today, sometimes we still don't want to do it. We still don't want to follow through. And sometimes it's a thought like, that's not good enough. I can't possibly lose weight just drinking more water like that. It couldn't possibly be that simple. And it's so ironic, right? We complain about, no, that would be too simple. But then we get so frustrated because all the diets are so complicated. But we complicate it. We overcomplicate it for ourselves. And then we fight and resist the simple things because it has to be complicated. And this all comes from the struggle story, the story that it's a struggle. It's hard to lose weight. It's hard to keep the weight off. And that's just something that you told yourself because of the diet industry and what mainstream kind of culture we've been brought into around food and what's good and bad and these food rules that you're supposed to follow and unrealistic expectations and unsustainable plans and things that keep you trapped in these cycles of constantly spending money over and over again on their diets, on their pills, on their potions, on their injections, on all the things. So we have to get really honest with ourselves too. Are you doing something that is sustainable? And how are you talking to yourself about it? Are you going to allow yourself to take it 1 pound at a time? And I know this is hard. Oh, I know this is hard, especially if you have 40, 50, 60 pounds you want to lose. When you have more weight, and I tell you to just take 1 pound at a time, focus on 1 pound per week. What do our brains and that like immediately go to? That's not good enough. That's not enough. That would take forever. I don't want it to take that long. I can't possibly like 1 pound a week. That's 50 pounds in a year, roughly. We can say 52, but let's say you lose 50 pounds in a year, but now you never have to worry about losing that 50 pounds again. But you've given yourself the time to lose it in a way that is sustainable and in a way that you can actually keep it off. That's what we really are going for here. But so often we get so hung up on, no, I should lose 10 pounds in a month. I should lose 15 pounds in a month. I don't want to mess around with just 4. Nonsense. So we got to be onto ourselves and onto our brains, like what holds us back? Because sometimes it's things like that. If that's not good enough, that's not fast enough, that's not getting me where I want to go. And this is part of learning to the willingness to slow down and then to enjoy the ride, to enjoy the process, to enjoy your life as you're losing the weight. Because so many times we keep thinking, I'm not going to enjoy my life until I get there. I'm not going to enjoy my life and I'm not going to be happy until I've lost all my weight. And that's the wrong way to think about it. We can't think about it that way. It has to be that I'm going to learn to love my life now and all the way down the scale. I'm going to learn to love my body now and all the way down the scale. That's what we got to do. We've got to start living the life. And I promise that when you start living a life that brings you joy and adventure and love and peace and calm, you no longer need it at the bottom of a box of chips or the bottom of a box of cookies. You don't need it, and food no longer becomes your primary source of joy and comfort and pleasure. Food is no longer the primary source of these things in your life. You can still enjoy it. I can still enjoy a drink, or I can enjoy my food. I still want food that tastes good to me. But it's not my primary source of joy, which means that we need to be focused on creating a life that we love, a life that lights you up inside, which means we're going to have to address some other things beyond just the food. We got to look at your marriage. We got to look at your parenting and your relationship with your kids. We've got to look at your career. And do you feel fulfilled? We've got to look at your relationship with your parents or your in-laws, your siblings, your friends. Do you have a community? Like your spirituality, your relationship with God. This is what it's all about. It's about building that life and that future vision that you see and bringing that to reality instead of letting life happen to you, instead of passively going through and just letting pieces fall where they may. We want to be intentional about what we're creating. We can know what to do and still not want to do it. So there's that. There's also now being afraid of going after the goal, not achieving it. There can be going after, right? So there's fear of failure. There's also the fear of success, going after the goal and achieving it. So I had a client one time who we started talking about some of this because she would have some success and then she would binge. She would have some success and lose some weight and then she would binge. She would have some, scale would be going down, clothes would be fitting better, and then something would happen. There'd be like some kind of trigger and she'd be emotionally eating or binging. And as we started talking through more of this and recognizing the cycles and what was coming up, we keep getting deeper and deeper into what's going on. And she shared with me that even being overweight, she was the skinniest of her sisters and her mom. So she was the smallest person in her family, and yet she still wasn't happy and satisfied with her body. She still was overweight and wanting to lose weight and wanting to really heal her emotional eating. And for her, it was, I already get picked on. I already get scoffed at when people like hear that I'm wanting to lose weight, or they see that I'm losing weight and they think, oh, like, you barely have any weight to lose. I had the weight to lose. Like, she gets not reprimanded, but it's like kind of shunned. She gets put on the outside. She is no longer included because she right now, even as she was, like, weighed less. And then as she was losing weight, it was like there was just going to be more criticism, more comments, more things that would come out that would have her feeling less a part of her family. So not feeling accepted, not having that community. And if we think about, too, again, if we go back to that habit brain, it's primal. It runs on instinct. If you were excluded from the tribe, from the family, you died. Like, plain and simple, right? Like, it's only been within the last 100 years that food has become more readily available, that health factors have increased, that, like, our medical status has increased. We used to be very reliant on a community and all the various parts and people in it. And so for thousands and thousands of years, we have needed a whole group of people in order to survive. Of course, we don't want to be ostracized. Of course, we don't want to be kicked out. Even though logically, we know we can find a new community. Logically, we know we're not going to die. But on that deeper primal level, to feel excluded, to feel abandoned, like, now we're tapping on some deeper wounds. And so if she was already being, like, picked on and teased and ridiculed and, like, there were demeaning comments about her weight, at her weight right now, to keep losing weight felt with, like, there was fear. There was, like, an aspect where that was not safe. This is why knowing what to do doesn't always matter. This is why you can know what to do and still not do it, because there are very primal subconscious reasons as to why not. And sometimes it's things that have happened recently, maybe comments that have happened recently. Sometimes it's stuff from your childhood, your teen years, your early, maybe your college years or early adulthood. This is what we need to understand, though. And this is why it's not a simple eat this, not that. This is why it's not a simple, we'll just take these actions and you'll get this result. Because number one, just taking the action doesn't always guarantee the result in the timeline that you think it should. Number one, which always messes with our belief and our confidence. But number two, we don't always have the right thoughts and emotions driving us to take the action that we want to take. There's also a whole slew of, she was also in a very toxic and emotionally abusive relationship, which I worked with her several years ago. And so I was not as aware of that type of dynamic. And it was one of those things where you're like, wow, what a jerk. But it wasn't something where I was like, oh, that's gaslighting. That's manipulation. That's abuse. Like, I didn't have the language and the awareness and the knowledge that I have now around those types of relationships. And it's been really interesting to see how many people come to me for weight and body image and emotional eating who really struggle with abusive relationships and abusive people in their life, whether it's a spouse or an ex-spouse or a boyfriend, or it could be a parent. Like, it just blows my mind. And now it's something that it's sad. Like, I'm heartbroken over it, but it doesn't quite surprise me anymore. I have a new client who I've also started to realize this about. Oh, yeah, I think he's married to somebody who is emotionally abusive. And it's hard to fully understand, like, the whole context of things, but you start working with somebody and you talk to them week after week, you start really developing a relationship with them and you're like, oh, yeah, no, I see some things. And it's not healthy. It's not good. And so, again, for my client, she could be, quote, doing the right things, taking the right actions. But because she was in this very volatile, emotionally abusive relationship where her very survival felt threatened many days. Her cortisol levels were so high, and her body now, it's in fight or flight constantly. And so her nervous system is constantly being triggered. Her cortisol levels are really high, and her body is not digesting food properly because her body needs to be ready to fight off a bear or run away from it. So that's what our bodies do. When we are in fight or flight, when our nervous system gets activated, our bodies now send blood and it sends energy away from things like digesting food, and it sends it towards being able to run and get away or to be able to fight something. So it shuts down anything that seems superfluous, anything extra. And it really focuses on, okay, how do I get my needs met? How do I get these basic things met? And in what we know about cortisol now too, also contributing to storing body fat, messing with your hormones, and often it'll throw things out of balance. It really interrupts your sleep patterns. Like, there's such an impact on our bodies. And so not only would there be emotional drivers for her going to reach for food, not only were there subconscious drivers as to why it was maybe threatening to lose weight, but then her body, and biologically, her body is now not in a state where it can easily release the weight. And it is just wild. Like, it's wild all the way that, again, her body and her brain was just trying to keep her safe and alive. It's all it wanted. It's really what it was going for. And it's been really interesting seeing this in my life and seeing how my weight. So when I first started dating a guy last year, my weight like slowly went up, but it went up about 10 pounds. Like, it was a lot. And I think when we started dating, I was probably underweight. It was pretty low. And so it like had stabilized. It got to a healthy range, but then it was up. So it was out of my normal range by about 4 or 5 pounds. And then it came back down after we broke up. And then I got into another relationship this year. And that, as I'm learning and really reflecting on things and unpacking that, was also there was a lot of covert abuse that was happening. And there were red flags that I saw that I didn't want to pay attention to. Red flags that I saw and I noticed, and I wanted to pretend like they weren't there. I just wanted to lie to myself, because if I lied, I didn't have to face the truth. And the truth would bring on some negative emotions. So it's a form of buffering there. But now that relationship has been over the last month or so, the scale now, and then I was also noticing over the spring, like, my weight was going up, over the summer it was going up, and it was outside of my normal maintenance range by about 5-6 pounds. And I don't think most people like looking at me would be able to see, and my clothes still for the most part fit the same, but like, I felt a little bloated and I was carrying some extra weight. Like, I could feel it a little bit in my thighs and in my stomach. Like, you can just tell when your clothes fit a little differently. And I'm sure a lot of it was more water weight, but there's probably also some fat, since in the last month or so, like maybe 4 to 6 weeks, the scale's gone down like 5-6 pounds without me doing anything different. I'm still teaching the same number of classes. I'm still eating roughly the same, like, I'm eating the same fruits. I'm really not doing anything different. And the scale's going down because I don't have that person in my life anymore. I don't have that anxiety. I don't have the subconscious programming and what was going on there. And it's just so interesting to see how our bodies are designed. And this is why, again, we need to look at all the things around us. We don't eat in a vacuum. So we need to address all the reasons as to why we might be emotionally eating or binge eating. Not that we're blaming other people for our actions. We are going to take responsibility for them. But we're also going to look at, what are the circumstances that I can change? And then for the circumstances that I can't change, how can I show up differently to them? What's a new story that I can tell myself? What's a better way to think about this? How can I rewrite my belief or retune into what I know the real truth is? And this is a process. And this is what I do. This is why I believe so much in coaching, because we often cannot see it for ourselves. We are just too close. It's funny. I gave my ex-husband some dating advice this weekend. And I feel kind of silly sharing that out loud. But I was like, I don't know if you see this. And from my experience, I know I am too close to my own life sometimes and I need somebody else to point things out. So I'm like, I'm just going to point these out and take it or leave it. You can delete it. You can disregard. I'm not trying to tell you who to date and not date, but let me just show you from the outside. Here's what I see. And having been married to him for 10 years, like I also learned a lot and have evaluated a lot of that. But I was like, hey, this, I can see things because I'm on the outside and I have a lot of experience with emotional eating and emotional abuse and these types of relationships. I have a lot of experience around body image and weight loss and what is actually required and getting to the root of why it is we don't want to take the action, why it is we don't follow through, why it is that maybe you can be quote good and you can follow your plan for a couple of days, maybe a couple of weeks. But sometimes it's only a couple of hours before we're off plan. We've jumped off the wagon. And then we feel so much frustration about like, no, I can do it. But it gets harder and harder to get back into that restricted mode. We want to let go of the restriction and really step into a place where there is peace and freedom with food, where there is ease around it, where you no longer have fear or stress around food being in your house. You no longer have to send it home with people because you're afraid you're going to binge on it or you're just going to stuff your face every day with it. I've had a Bundt cake in my freezer for months now. And I'll eat it like a little bit at a time. Like I'll cut off like a little piece and eat it occasionally. But like I still have so much of this cake. But that would have felt like impossible for me in the past. And there are times when I will just take things off, throw them away. Like my son's birthday cake last year, we had it. We ate off of it for like maybe a day or two. And then I was like, you know what? It's stale. It's not that great. Like, I'm just going to throw it away. And so I threw, it was probably like half of it. And I was like, nope, we're done. We got our satisfaction and our value out of it. I don't need to keep it. It's not worth it. But this is what I help you do, is to understand how to create consistent habits and why you haven't been successful in the past and learning how to rewrite that story and to rebuild your self-trust in yourself, to rebuild that trust that you can do it, that you can stick with your plan, that you can set a goal and follow through. Because so many of us feel like we haven't done that in the past, so we stop setting goals, we stop being intentional, we just let life happen. And that's no way to go through life. You can create and achieve so much more than that. If you want some help with this, I would love to chat. You can schedule your free consultation at www.bodyyoucrave.com/schedule and find a day and time on my calendar that works for you. And we'll spend an hour just diving into it, really looking at what's going on now. What is holding you back? What are the obstacles and the challenges? Because there are all kinds, from self-sabotage and self-protection to people-pleasing to perfectionism. We want to look at it all. We want to look at, you know, how overwhelmed do you feel on a regular basis? How stressed do you feel? What's your starting point? And where do you want to be? Have you really thought about and really envisioned the life that you want to have? Not just the body, not just the weight, not just the clothes that you want to wear. And yes, those are all wonderful and we want to be thinking about those. But are you really thinking about the lives that you want to create for yourself, the life that you want to create for your kids, the impact that you want to have on your community, the impact you want to have through your career and in your work? Because you were designed for a purpose. You have a legacy to leave and you get to write it. What do you want that legacy to be? Hey, this is why we often are asking the wrong questions and we get hung up on the things. We keep looking at what, just give me a new diet, tell me what to do. I just need to do it harder. And this is where I want to reframe and reshift our focus and really put it onto what matters. And for everybody, it's going to look a little different, right? But it's still the same overarching philosophy and principles. It's going to be ice cream. It's just a different flavor. We've all been through it. We have all been through some trauma, just a different flavor. But that's always going to impact how we see the world, how we approach goals and goal setting, how we do life. But it does, like, we don't need post-traumatic stress. We don't need to let it turn to stress. We can have post-traumatic growth if you're willing and you're courageous enough to choose it. And if you want some help and you want somebody to walk with you to help guide you so that you can create that life that feels so fun and amazing, it just blows your mind, I'd love to help you with that. All right. I've talked way longer than I expected. Let me hop off. I actually need to reheat my tea now. It's like cold. But I hope you all have a fabulous week. And big prayers are going out to hurricane victims of Hurricane Helene and this latest hurricane that is going through Florida. Lots and lots of prayers are going out to those who have lost homes, who have lost loved ones, sending so much love and peace and safety. Here's to creating the life and body you crave.
If you like this episode, then you'll love my free virtual workshop, 5 Keys to End Emotional Eating and Lose Excess Weight for Life. You'll learn the counterintuitive reason why all your attempts to restrict food over the years has actually led to weight gain, and the mental switch you need to flick that'll have you dropping pounds without sacrificing wine, carbs, or the food you love. Get all the details at bodyyoucrave.com.